Welcome to Bride of Christ Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Bride of Christ Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Powers. Here at WBSC Radio, we are committed to bridging the gap between Israel and the nations and educating the world against anti-Semitism and supporting the legitimate nation of Israel. For those of you watching our live feed, I appreciate your forbearance, but as soon as our new system comes in, we'll be streaming faster. Also, you can join me on Facebook at WBSCRadio.org, where I'm live right now. If you're just joining me for the first time, I have found that there's numerous listeners from all over the world who are unable to call into the broadcast with their questions or their comments. So Facebook and YouTube have given me that opportunity to connect with those listeners during the show. So periodically, I'll be shouting out to different countries. So if you're listening now, don't forget to let me know where you're from when you add your comments. And I'm here to minister to the masses of souls who've been wounded, broken, and searching for a shepherd. Again, I'm your host, Deborah Powers. If you'd like to reach out to me here at WBOC Radio, you can call 515-602-9613 during the show or leave a message at 931-563-3377 and email me at talk@wbocradio.org with questions you'd like answered on the broadcast or topics you'd like for me to address. You could also comment in the section on the live feed on Facebook and even afterwards, if I should be able to get those messages sent to me along with YouTube as well. Don't forget to follow me on YouTube and Facebook, and that will also increase our search engine. So I appreciate your support if you could do that. Also, you can mail us at WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee 37111. If you'd like to call into the broadcast with questions or comments, again, that number is 515-602-9613. You can also read my blog, get copies of my books, or listen to previous episodes of the podcast at wbocradio.org. All right, please let me know you support the Bride of Christ by going on Facebook and YouTube and following my page. You can also follow me on Instagram or Twitter at WBOC Radio. And for those of you who are watching the live feed now, thank you for tuning in. There's been a lot of anticipation leading up to this series, and I'm excited to finally get to share this word with you that God's given me so many years ago, Mystery of the Ketubah. Right, this promises to be the most enlightening teaching you'll ever receive if you're not aware of who you are as the Bride of Christ. When we read the Word of God through the eyes of the bride, the mystery of the Word can be understood by anyone. Right, you don't have to be a scholar or a theologian to decipher the Word of God when you've been equipped with the true identity of the church. You won't want to miss the rest of this season, I promise. So make sure you follow the broadcast on Facebook and YouTube, and you'll be updated when I'm about to go live if you're following me. Also, the website will have updated information on each broadcast along with studies and blogs to follow along. The blog associated with this broadcast is available at wbocradio.org if you'd like to comment or you have questions regarding the show or things that I've thought to as many questions as I can. There are many more resources for you to access on the website as well, and I'm adding to this daily. So check us out at wbocradio.org, and don't forget to sign up for our updates. I'll keep you up to date once in a while on what's going on. If there's anything important you may need to be aware of that may affect you as a Christian. I don't like people, when I sign up for things, them blowing up my email, so you don't have to worry about me saturating your email account every week with stuff, but I will keep you up to date with what's going on. I will also keep you up to date on Israel on the Street, coming September 2019. This is all coming together. I'm really excited about this specific particular trip, I should say. For more information, visit our website and click on the Fellowship tab at the top, or you could type in bocfellowship.org. This is my next scheduled trip to Israel. You'll get to enjoy Israel up close and personal, learn about the culture, and meet the people while still visiting the holy sites. Also, during this trip, we'll be doing live interviews on the streets of Israel as we talk to the people, enjoy the food, and experience Israel with the group. So you won't want to miss this trip. Again, if you want to be part of the broadcast today, or you're just you just have questions that you would like answered, give me a call at 515-602-9613. Or if you're watching my live feed, then type your questions in the comments section and tell me your name, country, and the question that you may have. I'll try to answer as many as I can and still stick to the topic today. All right, in yesterday's broadcast, I went back to the beginning of the Garden of Eden, and I established the relationship that God desires to have with the bride, which he ordained from the foundations of the earth. Based on the four choices that a Jewish groom in history, in their culture, in their traditions, the four choices that a groom had to make when he found his bride to be unfaithful, I went over that. Also, this revealed who the bride is, and she's both Jew and Gentile, and she's anyone who will accept Christ as their Redeemer. Now, I'm not going to go over this again because there's too much to cover, but please go back and watch yesterday's episode. I went in and I deleted the episode from the day before, so this does say part two on it, but I deleted that whole hour episode. I wasn't happy with it. There was so much that I was trying to get out there to you that I've kind of felt that it was overwhelmed with the information. I was jumping all over the place. So I decided to just go slower. I don't mean talk slower, but to go slower and be more specific about what it is that I'm talking about, because I want you to understand this. So I deleted part one, which is the chosen bride, and I went back to the basics yesterday and went to the very beginning and laid it out there for you, so you knew exactly what it is I was talking about and where I'm going with this. So pay attention. All right, so in addition to understanding who the bride is, we need to distinguish our relationship between Christ and the church. And that's what I'm going to share with you today. So even though that was part of the broadcast yesterday, I didn't get to finish with it, and it's not enough to fill a whole segment today. So I'm going to teach a little bit about, give a testimony regarding the chosen, who our husband is, and then I'm going to get into preparing for the wedding. All right, so rather than receive the Holy Spirit, the bride has substituted, and this is part of my testimony, this is what I want to give you today. So rather than receiving the Holy Spirit, the bride, which is the church, has substituted Jesus for an often perverted relationship she has with the body right now. So let me share a story with you. And then I'm going to tell you a prophetic dream that I had, which reveals exactly who the chosen husband should be rather than who we have made them to be. And then we'll get into the wedding preparations. So several years ago, I was urged, and I've told this story before, so bear with me if you've heard it. But several years ago, I was urged when I was called into the ministry to get my ministry license through a specific denomination. And I really didn't feel like I was supposed to be doing that. In my spirit, I just did not feel, I just felt uneasy, and the Holy Spirit continued to quicken me. I went ahead and did it just because of the pressure that I felt. And I felt like, well, if I've been called to minister, then what else are we supposed to do but follow after the natural course? Unfortunately, this isn't the natural course, it's the supernatural course, praise God. So we have a supernatural course, and then we have what we think we should be doing in the natural. So I went ahead and I applied for my license, and I did not feel good about it. And I knew in my spirit that I was going to go ahead and withdraw those licenses. So I was coming home from work one day, and I was crying because I just didn't understand what it was I was supposed to do. I knew I was called to minister to the nation. I knew that. But here it was, the Lord was laying it on my heart to withdraw those licenses, that I should have never done it to begin with. And so when I made up my mind to go ahead and withdraw those licenses, and on the way home and I was crying, the Lord spoke to me and he said, "Why do you want to be justified by them so badly?" And I said, "I don't, Lord. I just want them to accept me." He said, "They didn't accept me. Why would they accept you? The religious people are never going to accept those people in the spirit. They're never going to accept the spirit. They don't even want to walk in the spirit because he wants to control the situation, because we're yielding to him. And if we're ministering through him, then why wouldn't we want to yield to the Holy Spirit? Why would we want to maintain control? There's nothing I have to say that you would want to hear outside the anointing of the Holy Spirit." So I was led to give you my testimony, because in our testimony is the prophecy of Christ. You know, we testify of him and all the little details. So I'm not going to skip anything. I'm going to make sure you guys get it all. And I want you to understand who the chosen bride is. But before I can, or who the chosen groom is. And of course, we know that it's Christ. But this is, I got to finish telling the story. So I withdrew the application. He began to minister to me. And he said in John 15:16, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit shall remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, that will he do." So he says that if we're walking and we're walking in the steps and in that covenant that he's ordained, then he's going to see everything come to pass, but it's going to be in his timing. You know, there's a waiting period that we're about to get into today that I'm going to explain to you. It's called the Kiddushin. And I'm going to get into that in just a little bit here. And it's the Irushin as well. But there's a difference between the Irushin and the Kiddushin. And the Irushin is the actual betrothal. And the other is a setting aside, a separation, a sanctification. It's to separate yourself during that time while you're waiting for your husband. So there is a work that God wants to do in us. But unless we yield to him, how can we ever enter into that marriage covenant? Now, I'm going to get into the covenants much later on this month and at the beginning of February. But it's very important that you understand that he wants to covenant with us at different steps. Now, years ago, we used to call them, where are you in your walk with Christ? Or this person's a baby or this person's eating meat or whatever. But the point is it's covenant. And I'm going to get deep into that, really deep into that later, because it's very important that I break it down for you so you understand where you're standing right now in the body of Christ and how God wants to use you. So here I am. I withdraw my application. He says he's ordained me, and then nothing happens. As a matter of fact, it seems like it's just the opposite. I began to be treated like a shunned ex-wife because I was excited what the Lord had to share with me and what he was telling me and what he wanted to do in me. But when I shared that with the person who was pushing me to get my license, it didn't go over very well. As a matter of fact, I said, man, I don't need to please man. I just need to please God. And he's the one that's called me and ordained me. I don't need a piece of paper to justify me. And wow, that did not go over well. I was excited to share that with him, but he was excited to share it with everybody else in a different way. So I didn't make that mistake again. And I learned what it meant to cast your pearls upon the swine. Eventually, I did feel like a shunned ex-wife, and I was moving out of the church. I went to another church. I was just looking for a place. I didn't go around telling people who I was, what God called me to do, that I had, wrote a book. I had written my first book at that time, that I was an author. I didn't say anything about myself. I would just show up in the service and just worship. I was looking for a place that I could just be in fellowship with the Lord in a corporate body that was in one agreement and one accord. That is so hard to find nowadays if you're walking in the Spirit, because man has taken over the body of Christ. And that's what I'm going to get into here in a minute. So I walked away. Basically, I had been away from the church for about it had been about 5 years since the Lord had said that to me, that he had given me this prophetic dream. Now, in this prophetic dream, I was married to a woman. Now, if you're only listening to me on the radio, FYI, I am a woman. So just as this is an abomination to the Lord, what I'm about to tell you is the same thing. So think of it like this. Women do not marry women, and men do not marry men. And I won't get into that right now, because that's not my issue. My point is that it's an abomination to walk in homosexuality, and it was an abomination for me to be married to that woman. But in this dream, I was married to this woman, and we were in the church, and during the service afterward, I wanted to marry another person. And that person was with me, and he was standing by my side, but you couldn't really see him. But I knew he was there, and I could see him. And he was extremely tall. I loved this man, and I wanted to marry him. But they said, you can't, because you're already married. Now, the elderly lady that I was married to in the church, she was actually with her husband in the church. I didn't talk to her. I didn't have a relationship with her. I was separate from her. And we didn't live together or anything, but I was married to her. And so I asked, I wanted to get married, and they said, you can't, because you're already married. And I was very upset, and I began to walk away. And immediately this voice spoke up, and there were several people in the congregation gathered around in a circle discussing this in the church. And all of a sudden this voice spoke up, and he says, have you consummated the marriage? And I turned around quickly and I said, no. And he said, well, you can get an annulment. And I was so happy, but my groom still, my intended bridegroom, still put his hand in the middle of my back, and he ushered me out of the church. So I still walked away from the church because I was entering into a new covenant with him. Now, this is the interpretation of this dream. All right, the elderly lady represents the church. Okay, now this is prophetic, so please hear me what I'm saying to you, because this just wasn't for me. But he told me a long time ago, if I would have been ordained or certified or licensed through that denomination, I would have put up a wall that I could not have tore down. But that elderly lady represented the church. And the man that she was married to, who was also an elderly man, he represented all the religious aspects of the church and what they do. He represented the control. And so she was with him and he was with her. But I was not with them. I was separate from them. And I wanted to marry another, and that other was Jesus Christ. I wanted to walk in the Holy Spirit. He's the one that had chosen me. And when I turned around and I withdrew my application, that application represented the marriage covenant that I was going to enter into with the church instead of Jesus Christ. And the ketubah, it was the ketubah, the marriage contract, again, it's the ketubah. The marriage contract is the ketubah. And I signed a ketubah, but I did not finish it. And it was never consummated. I withdrew my application. I took back the ketubah and I removed myself from that situation. And what happens? I am then separated from them. God moves me out and begins to do a separate work in me. And that's what he wants to do in you. He wants to do that in each of us. He wants to do a separate work. But in order for him to do that, he has to get our mind set on him and not on the church. And I'm not saying, please don't misinterpret this, I'm not saying that we should not go to church. I'm saying that we have to make sure that our relationship is with Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, and not the bride, which is the body of Christ. Corporately, she comes together. That's why it's so important that we come together in a corporate body, because we are the body. And in its totality, we make up the bride of Christ. Amen? The body is the bride. And so we can't marry each other. We can't commit ourselves to each other. We can't continue to do all these works and think that it's going to bring us salvation. And that's a whole another broadcast regarding the covenants that we walk in and the works that we try to do and what we do to try to replace that relationship that we have with Christ. So this prophetic dream, it was the illumination of his intentions toward me. He was inviting me into the marriage covenant, and he ushered me out of the church. I'm going to just let you know that we were never intended to espouse the church or substitute our relationship with Christ for her. The church is the bride of Christ, not the bride of the bride. Do not misunderstand, like I said, all right, this interpretation. We should not forsake the assembly. Rather, as one body, we all have a different purpose, and each member of the body is chosen for a specific assignment, and not all of them fit that traditional building. Now, however, you know, if we're willing to step outside that the restrictions of religion and walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God's able to move inside or outside the building in ways we've not seen since the days of the early church. Look what he's doing through this broadcast. I'm so excited to see this. I'm going to give a shout out to Lisa Koger. I see that you're watching. I'm glad that you finally found the broadcast. And a shout out to Crystal Perry. And thank you for everyone who's watching on YouTube. Shout out to you on YouTube. I know it's difficult to watch that stream since the audio and the video is not lined up, but thank you. And again, everybody out there that's listening on Blog Talk Radio, shout out to you. Everybody in Turkey and over in South Africa, Cape Town to be specific, shout out to you. Praise God. Thank you for listening. All right, I'm going to continue on. You know, if you're willing, like I said, if you're willing to step out, outside the confines of religion, who knows what God can do through us? You know, we have to each work out our own salvation and be confident in who we are in Christ without the need for that carnal justification. And it seems like God called me out on that because that's what I was looking for. You know, choosing to step out in faith in the direction he has chosen for any individual is the first step to entering into that marriage covenant. In Romans 8 and 3, it says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Praise God. Now we have established who the bride is and who the groom is. The groom is Jesus Christ. It is not the church. It's not the works that we do. It's not that relationship we have with the body, even though our church family is very precious to us. It's not that relationship that we're supposed to replace Christ with. It's an abomination. And that's why he gave me such a profound dream. He was saying, do not covenant with the church. You covenant with me. You covenant with me. The bride marries the groom, not the church. Now's the time to prepare for a wedding. Now we're going to move into this next day's study. That was left over from yesterday, especially the content you can find in Mystery of the Ketubah, Chapter 1. And that is one of the topics in Chapter 1. We're going to move into Chapter 2 if you want to follow along in the book, Mystery of the Ketubah. And right now you could get this at wbocradio.org. All right? And it says that it's the Secrets of Ancient Israel Revealed Through the Eyes of a Bride. All right, wbocradio.org, and you can click on the upper tab that says Resources or Publishing. Either way, you could also go to bocpublishing.com and find a copy of this book as well. All right, so we're going to get into the Kiddushin and the Irushin I was telling you about. It's the betrothal. The Kiddushin, after the ketubah is entered into, and I will get into the details of the ketubah and what's actually in it and the parts of the ketubah in later studies, but I have to break this down for you now so you understand exactly what he wants to do in us and how we have to prepare before we can even enter in to the ketubah, into that marriage contract. And the kiddushin is the time that is set apart for the bride and the groom, where he goes and he prepares for his bride to receive her, and she learns how to receive her husband and be a good wife. All right, so as far as salvation is concerned, well, wait, let me back up before I get into the salvation. The sanctification and the set apart, like Mary and Joseph, for example, that was the Kiddushin. It was also the Irushin, because the Irushin is considered the name in the Hebrew as the betrothal or the engagement. All right, but the Kiddushin and the Irushin is the same thing. It's just that the Kiddushin represents sanctification and being set apart. I hope I made that clear. If not, it's in the book, and I'll also try to publish that on the blog tonight so you'll understand just a little bit more. But write these things down. I want you to keep track of them. It's the Kiddushin and the Irushin. Irushin is the betrothal, but during the betrothal, you walk in the Kiddushin, and that's sanctification. The Nitzuin, that's the actual marriage ceremony, and we'll get into that later as well. So again, as I was saying, as far as salvation is concerned, once we've been separated, once we enter into the Kiddushin and accept the invitation to follow Christ, we have to have a preparation period which reflects a time of growth. So once he called me out of the church and he set me apart, it was a time of sanctification. And that's why I'm giving you my testimony to go along with this study, so that you can see that in each one of us, we have to walk out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what he wants to do. And if it means letting go of what we think is the most important thing in our life, then that's what we need to do, because I guarantee you, he has something better for us if we just let go. So we're led by the Holy Spirit while he prepares us to step into our calling. So assuming that the seed planted in our hearts fell in good soil, this should be the time where we desire to separate ourselves from the world and to seek those things which were above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. That's Colossians 3 and 1. This is that time. We should have an overwhelming hunger for the word of God and a new sense of righteousness and a desire to commune with him in prayer and through worship. And this is what it means to be separated. When we mature as believers, our way of thinking and the desires of our heart change from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness. All right, now, Now that we are completely yielded to Christ and we understand who we are as he calls us out, God is able to direct our path and mold us into a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. So as we continue to seek a closer relationship with him, he slowly moves us into a new direction, which eventually leads us from glory to glory. Praise God. The process is not always pleasant, right? Though, and oftentimes, you know, he has to force us out of that comfortable position after another. It's very painful sometimes to step out and rely on God to do that work in us and do what we know that he's promised. But here's the problem. We have to completely rely on him. When we yield to him, that means we're no longer in control. And it's a scary place for some people. They don't know what God's got for them. They don't have all the answers right away. All right, I'll take your calls in just a minute if you're on standby. If you're just now tuning in, I'm Deborah Powers. You're listening to WBOC Radio on Blog Talk Radio, but you're also watching BOC TV on Facebook and YouTube. And if you're tuned into WBOCRadio.org, you're also watching the live stream there. If you want to be part of the show, you can call 515-602-9613. I'll take your answers. I'll answer your questions and I'll take your calls. Any comments that you'd like to make on the broadcast as well, just please give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. So when I was called into the ministry, I was in a very comfortable job. I had a wonderful home. My family was doing well, and there was nothing that I was in need of at all. But the Lord was calling me out, and I was even offered a position to run multiple facilities at my job, but I was also offered a position in the church to be a pastor of a church not far below the one that I was attending. And it would have been like a satellite church as you know it today, but we didn't call it that back then. It was just a sister church is what we called them. And then one would get built up and we'd go from there as we would continue to grow. And I knew that God was calling me to be a minister, but yet how in the world do I justify turning this down when it seems like everything's at my feet? And so here I am. I'm called into the ministry. God begins to call me out. I knew I'm supposed to leave my job, and I leave my job. But here's the thing. God was asking me to let go of those things that I was holding on to in the flesh and in the world. And I'm going to read you an excerpt from my book real quick. It's in chapter 2. I think it's maybe around the second or the third page, but you can follow along. I just went ahead and cut it and put it in here. So when he drew me out, he was not asking me to follow him if it was easy. He was not asking me to follow him with my own agenda or for my own glory. He was most certainly not asking me to follow him if it was convenient. He was asking me to pick up my cross and follow him at all costs. This did not include hanging on to my old identity, my titles, or my positions. They were all filthy rags. In fact, he was asking me to leave them all behind for a new identity and character in Christ Jesus. This was the purpose of the Q-Machine. It would include selling my home, leaving my beloved church family, moving to a new state, and leaving every comfort we had created for ourselves. This process also included purging me of the trophies I had accumulated along the way. My greatest trophy was my career. My job title had become my identity, my self-worth, and my provision. When I received this revelation from the Lord, I wept in my bed for over 2 hours. When we prepare to enter into a covenant with a husband, a wife, or even Jesus the Messiah, there's a change that has to take place, not just in our heart, but in our flesh. All right, so there's a lot that God has to work out of each of us at the beginning of that calling. Now, hear me out. He calls us, he anoints us, and he appoints us. So you may get a calling as soon as you receive salvation with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues, and you know God's called you to preach. But that's just the beginning. You have to be anointed to walk in that service. And then the third thing is appointed. You could go for years before he actually appoints you to the position, but it just depends on how long it takes to work things out of you. There's many people that's chosen to be worship leaders or ministers or whatever it may be in the church, a deacon in the church. But if we can't set the right example inside ourselves and prepare to walk in that Q-Machine, which is that sanctified person, that set apart life, if we can't walk in that while we're waiting to enter into the marriage covenant, which is actually the appointment, then we're going to be there for an awfully long time If you understand what I'm saying, say amen. Okay, I hear you out there. Amen. Hi, Marie. It's nice to see you. She's tuning in from Cape Town, South Africa. I'm glad you didn't miss this episode. Praise God. So what I'm trying to let you see here through my own testimony is that there are some painful things that God has to work out of us. And those painful things are letting go of all the stuff that we're holding on to. Yes, I see. We have an amen. All right. And the things that we're letting go of are our securities, our jobs, sometimes our homes, sometimes our possessions. You don't know what that may be. It could even be a church family. But for me, it was my license. It was my career. And so I walked away from it. And when I did, and I told you I was in, you know, I read that excerpt, I was in the fetal position on my bed crying for 2 hours because I did not realize what it was that I had done. But for you to understand what God was really asking from me to let go of, you got to know where I came from. And where I came from was a really rough place. Slept in my car at the high school just so that I could graduate. I slept in the boiler room when it got cold and I ran out of gas. No, this is what I was doing. If Connie Manning is listening right now, she could testify of this. I'd love for her to be able to call in right now. The number is 515-602-9613. She was my Sunday school teacher. She didn't know everything that was going on in me, but she knew something was going on at that time. And I would go over to her house for these Bible studies where she was just filling me with the word. I was so hungry. And I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And God was just downloading his word inside me, but I had come from a very awful place. And I'm not going to get into everything, but for you to know that when I left and I graduated high school and I joined the military and God gave me this career. And then all of a sudden, as I grew in my career and I became, you know, the head, there she is right now. Hold on just a minute. You know, when I became the head of my department and I was running this department in the hospital, then that's exactly what he was asking from me. It was my trophy. I'm going to take this call right now and I'm hoping that it's Connie. So hi, you're on the air with Deborah Powers.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hello. Hey.
Hi, Connie. Hi, Connie, you're live on the air. Connie Manning from Akron, Ohio. Praise God. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Very well. I love your sermons. It's really wonderful to know the power you have
knowing
you from a very young age.
Hi. Hi, Connie.
Praise God. Can you hear me okay? I'm getting some feedback. You're going to have to turn down the...
You.
Yeah, turn down the broadcast in the back, okay?
So, yes. There's some things, if you don't mind me adding to your conversation here.
But, no, not at all. Try to speak into the phone a little bit more.
Yes. Well, anyways, I know that going through some hard times really makes people discouraged. But honest, and when you look at how...
You're cutting out, Connie.
I'm cutting out. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's really low. I know that the listeners can't hear you right now. It's very muffled.
Very muffled. Okay. So what do I do?
Okay. So if you guys can hear, I'm going to just type a little bit of what she's saying. All right. Go ahead, Connie. It's all right.
Okay. All right. Now can you hear me better?
No, there's something wrong with the connection. Let's hang up and you try to call back in, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right. Call me right back. All right. Sorry about that. I really want you to be able to hear, and I don't want to have to try to translate because it's it doesn't come out well when I do that. But I want you to hear this, okay? So when she calls back in, we'll see where that leads us here. Hopefully she can call right back. So what I was trying to say is that, oh, there she is. Here we go again. Okay, let's try this one more time. All right, Connie, let's hope we can hear you a little bit better, okay?
Okay. Well, hopefully we can. Can you hear me better now?
You okay?
Honey, can you hear us?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
No, they're not going to be able to hear. I tell you what, I'm going to call you, okay? I'm going to call you on my cell phone real quick, and hopefully, let's do that right now. I'm going to hang up. All right, guys, I'm going to call her on my cell phone because I really want her to be part of the conversation. And I just called the wrong person. All right, here we go. Let's see if you guys can hear this a little bit better. Let me know if you're able to hear her after we get on the air, okay? Praise God. Oh, let's see if she answers. All right, Connie, are you, if you're listening, answer the phone. Okay. Can you hear us now? All right. I'm just going to move on with the broadcast. We'll get to talk to her some other time, and I'll have to show her how to call in. And she has really bad connection where she is. So I apologize for that. I'm going to move on and just let you know that everything that was going on during that time in my life was created this thing inside me where I didn't have to rely on anybody. And I didn't think that I would, you know, ever have to rely on anybody ever again, or that I would ever go hungry again. So for the Lord to ask me for my career was painful. But what I did is I said, all right, Lord, I would rather obey you than, you know, anything that you could ever give me or anything that I could ever ask for or do in my own flesh. But he was asking this from me. And so what I'm trying to tell you is during the keto sheen, he's going to work these things out of us, but we have to yield to him. And for him to ask me for my license was the most painful thing. I was getting ready to go back to Israel, you know, and I knew that he was asking me for that very thing, not just my career at this point, but he was asking me for my license. All right, now this is the time for true dedication and sanctification. And it's a very, you know, when I gave God my trophy, he was able to begin a new work in me. But when I got back from Israel, that was the last, right when I left, it was at the end of February. It was the last time that I could actually send in my registration for the year because I had to renew those licenses annually. I was a radiology director and I had multiple licenses in radiology. And for me to let go after I had worked so hard to get those licenses, it was extremely painful. It's like if you're a nurse, it's like asking you for your nursing license after you know how long it took you to not only get to that point, but to pass those tests and then become, you know, go to the top of your field. And for the Lord to be asking you for that, you know, I thought to myself, well, I'm going to try this. Now, I didn't realize this is what was going on, but I thought I'm going to try this faith thing. And if it don't work out, I could always fall back on my license. All right. Apologies. One more time. Let's try this again. Hi, Connie.
Can you hear me? Okay. Can you hear me now?
Nope. We can't hear you. I think it's the cell phone. I don't know what the problem is, but.
Okay. Well, maybe we can work this out. And it's so we can get on next time and we can share this together.
Hey, I can hear you now. Hey, can everybody
hear
her?
Can you
hear
me now?
Yes, praise God.
Oh, hallelujah.
Okay. Yes.
God's so good.
What I was doing, Connie,
okay.
is I was, where I was right now is I was in the place of telling them where I had come from. And when we walk in the Kiddushin, which is actually the betrothal, when we enter into that covenant with Christ, then what I was trying to explain to them is that we are the Lord is asking for us to let go of everything that we're holding on to. And if he's asking for it, then there's a reason. And if we don't want to let it go, then that's our answer. You know, I'm going to say that
Absolutely.
One more time to the viewers. No, if we're holding
Absolutely.
On to something that he's asking for and we don't want to let it go, there's a reason. And that's our answer. If we don't want to let it go, that's our answer. And mine was my job. And I was explaining to them where I had come from. and what was going on in my life when I joined the military and became a radiology tech and began to work. And I was telling them that that was my trophy. So Connie, she can testify of when I walked in into the doors of that church and I gave my heart to the Lord. 2 weeks later, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and she had no clue about the oppression I was living in. Connie, do you have anything to add to the conversation?
Right. Oh, boy, do I ever.
go ahead.
I've known you for years and years. In fact, I was your teacher for quite a while, and we met at the house, the youth group, and we would sit on the floor and study God's word. But you were a little different than most of them because you really wanted to learn. That's where a lot of people miss out on God's calling, too. They don't want to hear exactly what he's got to say and follow him. And therefore, we get off on the wrong direction and we end up on a dead-end street and we just don't understand why. But when we really seek him, and we will find him. And that's the thing that I think that the people really need to hear today. They are going through a lot of tough times. But you have to be really tough people to go through some issues. But God is always there lifting you up if you just listen to his voice. And that voice is the Holy Spirit. And I think when you become a Christian, it takes a while to realize who you are in Christ. And then when you dwell and seek him, it says, seek my face and you will find me. And when you do seek him, you will find him with the greatest moment of your life. And he will give you the peace that passes all understanding. And he will love you like no one has ever loved you before, because our kind of love is different than his. His love fulfills us with just compassion. And I'll tell you, sometimes I noticed in today's society, especially our young people, forgiveness is not even available to them. They don't want to forgive. And that's what stops your blessings and your walking with Christ. Your forgiveness is very, very, very important, especially nowadays when there's so much strife that goes on in the world. When you realize that you have Jesus in your heart, and he will just help you do everything. Like I always used to tell him, if you can use a donkey, you can use me. And so therefore, I've had to learn to forgive and forget. And this morning, the Lord got me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I went to the book of Genesis, and I started studying, and he really wanted me to share something, I don't know why, with some people. But you never, ever look back, just like when Lot's wife looked back. And when I got a hold of some of these scriptures, it really touched my heart, because people will always remind you of your past. And I think that a lot of people are having problems with that, because God will never, ever remind you. When you ask for forgiveness, you're forgiven. Is that
right?
Not right?
Yes,
and
amen.
So, we have a strong foundation with him, which is Christ. And when he dwells within us, we don't have to worry about that foundation cracking, because you find the word that you have a problem with, and you move forward with him. And so, therefore, I understand exactly what you're saying, because you have to be locked. I've known you since you were a child and in school. And you are very receptive, and you want to help people. You've got a heart for people. And a lot of people don't understand where you're coming from. But when they know Jesus, they will automatically connect, because God wants you where you're at, and you're exactly where you should be. And so I'm proud of you. And I've had to just share some things, because God laid that on my heart early this morning. And I'm just so glad that we finally connected. And I hope people receive the word, because you are teaching the truth.
Yes.
And that's the great thing, love and compassion, and, you know, which is Christ that dwells in you. And
are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, there you
are. Can you hear me?
You know, yes, I can hear you, Connie. And everybody else, they say that they can hear you as well. Now you know why I went through what I did trying to get Connie on the air, because I wanted you guys to get a little taste of what I get all the time. She is just a blessing in my life, and she lifts me up, and we always are able to lift each other up, and we know the truth, and we might know the word, but when we're in deep in something deep, then we need lifted up as well, and we need a hand that's lifted out, and God gives us these people that we're in like minds and in one accord where we can lean on each other, and she has been my person for years, and I've missed her greatly when I was separated from her, but I've known Connie since March. Right after my, actually, it was in February, at the end of February of 1989. And as you can see, she has so much in her. And the word that you just shared with us, Connie, that word was for me as well. I mean, that just hit me in my spirit. And it's exactly the truth. You know, we have to love, and we have to show people that we do love them. And I do love these people. It's why I'm trying to minister to them. It's why I want them to know the truth. It has nothing to do with me, because I have nothing inside me that I could share with these people that is not from the Lord. And for you to be able to do what you're doing, the way God's using you, that's just amazing as well, especially two women and strong-minded, willful men who want to control things in that environment sometimes. It's getting much better. Still have a long way to go.
We all do. We all do. And there's one little sentence that I know God wants me to share with all of you. When we get saved, we can go as far as God wants us to go.
That's right.
That is really awesome, because there's no limit to God. There's no limitations.
Do you know what you're saying right now, just that sentence that you just shared? We can go. That's exactly what this whole broadcast is about today. It's about going as far as Christ wants us to go when we're willing to yield to Him, when we're willing to let go of all these things. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. When I'd ask them, you know, to hear what I'm saying, that there's trophies that we're holding on to. And I don't know what their trophies are. I don't know what your trophy is. If you're watching right now, if you're just now tuning in, God is asking for all of you. He wants everything that you're holding on to, because He wants to give you something better. You think that you're holding on to something great right now, but He wants to give them something better. Ain't that right, Connie?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They have no clue how wonderful it is to be a servant of the Most High. They have no clue. Some of them do, some of them don't. But if you don't, please just give your heart to the Lord and ask Him to guide you and lead you. And He's got a plan for you from your very womb, being in your mother's womb. He's got a plan set. But most of us really miss out on the greatest pleasure, because we've got our own way. And that's a selfish way. And you know, some of the ways are good, some are bad. And how do you distinguish the two if you're not really listening to the Holy Spirit? So I just pray that everybody listens to you on this program. I'm going to be tuning in quite a bit lately, and you're just going to have to tolerate me. How you like that?
I would love for you to call in. Just make sure you have a really good connection, and I'll make sure that I turn this up as loud as I can get it when you call in, so that they can hear you. Thank you so much for calling in. Awesome. I love you.
Thank you.
You are my mother in Christ, and you have a blessed day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
God bless everyone.
Thank you. So just like Connie was saying, you know, this is a time for true dedication and sanctification. It's a time to set ourselves apart. And when He's asking those things from us, you know, we have to walk in the purpose that He's called. And just like she was saying, she said that, you know, we can go as far as the Lord has, you know, wants us to go, the things that He has for us in our life. we can go as far, and we can walk each one of those places, that place that he wants to go, the height that he wants to take us, that is entering into our own personal marriage covenant with the Lord. Now, we can enter into the servant covenant. And like I said, I'll talk to you. I'm just giving you a little taste of what's coming up, praise God. But that's what I'm going to talk about in these next broadcasts over the next month or so, up until the time I go to Israel at the end of February, beginning of March. All right, so within months, you know, he moved my family out of this place when I was willing to give him everything. But here I was, I'm going to go back to where I was telling you I'd gone to Israel. Once I left for Israel on that specific day, it was February 28th. It would have been the last day that I could renew my license. So when I went to Israel, I was expecting God to do something mighty in me when I came back. I thought, this is a wedding. This is me entering. There's nothing else I'm holding on to. But you know what? It wasn't finished. I had another 2 years to go. It had been 5 years already, and there was another 2 years and another 2 years. But there was those 2 years that, a matter of fact, let me, I'm going to have to tell you another dream. So this is another prophetic dream. It is very profound, the same as the first. And so I explained to you, let me just find out, make sure that I'm not missing anything that I wanted to share with you real quick. So I was just, there's some points that I made here, that my career was the catalyst that he'd used to strategically place me in that right position. And the key to Sheen wasn't over, because he wanted my license, so I gave him my license. These are just some bullets that I made. I want to make sure that I don't miss anything in this teaching, because it's very important that you understand what it is that he's asking from us. So Jesus summed it up with these words. He says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follows me after me is not worthy of me. He's saying, if you're putting anything above him, anything, then you are not worthy of him. And you're not going to be walking in that covenant that he has for us. Because you can't step into that marriage covenant if you're holding on to the earthly things. So again, the reason I'm telling you this is because the bride of Christ, you know, as the bride of Christ, we all have to go through our own personal kiddushin while we're waiting to step into that marriage covenant. I'm going to tell you, 7 days after returning, you know, from my trip to Israel, God gave me this prophetic dream. Now, I went to Israel. I'm thinking that it's finished, but right before I go to leave, there's another dream I have to tell you as well. I'm standing on this pedestal in the middle of this big, huge room where you would go and try on a wedding dress. And under the wedding dress, I had on these white shorts and white undergarments. And over top of that, I had on my white baptismal gown. And over top of that, I had on this white wedding dress that was made out of all these little stars of David. And the whole thing was covered and it had a long train. I'm not going to tell you all the details because there's some personal things in there that might hurt some people. But in this dream, I had to take off my wedding gown because somebody else wanted it. And underneath, I won't tell you who, but underneath the wedding gown, they were dressed in black. I'm going to probably have to pick up tomorrow or on Monday where I left off on this. I only have 6 minutes left. I'm going to try to hurry up and get this in. So in this dream, I'm wearing I am wearing this wedding dress. I had to take it off, and there's a delay. So right before I go to leave for Israel, I realized that I wasn't going there for the marriage. I was going there for the rehearsal. And when I got back, I was devastated because the things that I thought that was going to happen, that God was going to finally open that door, because I can't get that door to open on my own. I can stand on it and push with both feet trying to pull that door open, and it's not going to come until God ordains it to open, praise God. And so when I got back from Israel, I had this dream that I was, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and go along with the broadcast a little bit further today. I think I really feel led to finish this up, okay? And so if you get cut off on the radio, we have 5 minutes left, but you can go back and you can listen to the live or the recorded broadcast, because it does cut me off on the radio, but on the recording, you can go back and listen. on Facebook and YouTube, you can continue to listen, all right? And I'll still be on there live. I'm still streaming. I'm not going to cut us off. I'm going to finish what I started here today because I really feel like I got to finish this lesson. So in the, and I heard myself starting to rush this, and I don't want to rush it. If you're listening on the radio right now, you can go to facebook.com/WBOCradio.org, or you could go to YouTube, type in WBOC Radio, Deborah Powers, D-E-B-R-A, and you can go to the live stream right now and watch on my channel and go ahead and follow me. That way you'll get to hear the rest of this and you won't get cut off. All right, so going, I didn't want to rush this other dream. I'm going to finish it. So in this dream, I was wearing this gown and I walked into, I had to take it off because this person wanted it and they said that they're older and that they should get married before me. So I leave out of there. I still have on my baptismal gown and I walk out this door and I go into this area that's all open. And in this opened area, it was a banquet hall. And there was all these seats and these tables set up with food, and there's people dressed in white and they're going around, they're servants, and they have food that they're sitting down in plates, and they're beautiful place settings. And I told them, I said, do not forget what you did here. Don't forget how you set this up and everything, because in 2 weeks I want this to be exactly the way it is right now for my wedding. I want it to be like this. This is how, you know, I believe that it needs to be. So don't forget to do any of this. This all has to happen again. And so I get to Israel. There is a delay. And I get back. Nothing happened. And I was devastated. You can ask my friend Sheila King. I wish that she could call into the radio broadcast right now. Sheila, if you're listening, the number is 515-602-9613. Give us a call, and hopefully we won't get cut off. And I want them to hear that testimony from you. If you want to call in on Monday with it, if you can't call in right now, I would love for you to validate, I should say, shouldn't say that, but it's true. I was so devastated. It looked like that I wasn't going to be able to pick myself back up again because I didn't know what else I was supposed to do. But God wasn't finished. There was another 2 years that I had to go through. And those 2 years was extremely painful, because it involved family. And so I'm going to tell you this dream. I was sitting at the airport, I'd gotten off the airplane and I was coming up this escalator and I had my luggage that I was carrying behind me, but the luggage wasn't new luggage that I have today. It was old luggage that I purchased in 1989 when I had met Connie and I was getting ready to go off to the military, graduate high school, and I was going on spring break. And so I bought this luggage. We're going to get cut off. So that is the luggage that I was carrying when I came up that escalator. And as everyone was getting ready to go to the top, they were allowing their luggage to fall in this big pile. So I allowed my luggage to fall in that pile as well. And I had this pink carry-on with me. And I walked over to my right where there was three walls of glass that was separated out with these. They were chairs that were attached together, as you've seen in terminals, airport terminals. And I go and I sit down on the right-hand side, and so I'm even with my luggage. You could look to the left and you could see my luggage. And I sit down, and there's a lady sitting next to me. I take this pink luggage, this pink carry-on, and I put it behind her chair because it's easy. You know, you just throw it over the side of your chair, and that's where it was laying. Well, my flight was leaving at 5:20, and that gave me 2 hours before boarding, and it was 3:00. And so what happened is, as I'm sitting there, I had like 20 minutes before I was to leave, and I go over to get my luggage, and I have to board the plane. And I go to get my luggage, and my luggage isn't there. And I start looking all over for this luggage, and I can't find it. And I start to go down the escalator, but the escalators weren't working. And everybody starts shouting at me saying, it's a time of prayer. It's a time of prayer. And when I look down the escalator, I see all these people with their faces to the ground and they're worshiping and they're dressed in white and they're praying. And I was desperate to find my luggage. So I put my feet on the side of the escalator on the two black parts of the escalator, and I slide down. Before I reach the bottom of the escalator, I end up, the time of prayer is over, the lights come back on, the escalator starts to work, and I land on my feet, but the place is empty and there's nobody there. Everybody is gone. And I look around, I look over to the left, and my luggage isn't there. The escalator's working. I get on the escalator and I begin to come back up slowly up the escalator. I go over and I sit down and I'm thinking, oh my word, I'm really going to have to go. I'm going to have to leave without my luggage. What am I going to do? I mean, I've always had that luggage. I don't know what to do without it. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I really am going to leave this luggage behind. When the person to my left, the woman who was still sitting there, she reaches behind her chair and she gets my pink carry-on and she puts it in my lap and she said, well, at least you still have this. And I opened up this pink carry-on and inside it was all this breast pumping equipment. Yes, I know. And baby bottles and nipples and all this stuff to feed babies. And I stare at it and I went, huh. And that was the end of the dream. And I'm going to tell you the interpretation, because God wants to do a work in you as well. And he needs to circumcise the flesh from you, just like he did when Israel crossed over the Jordan River and they were camping in Gilgal. And it was a time of, you know, to prepare to step into the promised land. And what did he do? He circumcised them there. He circumcised the flesh. And he says, I have now, Gilgal, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. And when he circumcised that flesh, I had 2 years that I had to go through something very painful, very painful. And it was circumcising that flesh, but it was family separating me from what I used to be to what God has for me now. Because even though I was no longer in Egypt and he had delivered me, he had to get Egypt out of me. I still had that Egypt mentality. And God could not take me into the wedding. I was still walking in that Kiddushin. He was still preparing me for the wedding during that time of sanctification. He had to get all of that stuff out of me that I was holding on to, that I brought with me out of Egypt. So he says, I've taken you out of Egypt. Now I have to get Egypt out of you. And he circumcised some flesh, and it was quite ugly, and it was bloody, and it left some marks. But you know what? I never felt such peace in all my life than I did when he removed that flesh from me. I was restored, and I was a new person. And then right after that, he started putting it in my heart, it's getting time. It's getting time. You're getting ready to give birth. You're getting ready. You know, I say that I use these different analogies when I'm talking. And it's funny because a pastor friend of mine says to me, his Pastor Marvin Carlton, he said to me one time, he says, you know, it's strange that you've used the analogy that you're about to give birth in 9 months, but at the same time, you said you're ready for a wedding. And we came to the conclusion, and this was in our spirit that the Lord had given us at the same time, that Mary was pregnant, but she was still walking in the Irushin. She was still walking in the Kiddushin. She was still sanctified and set apart. And she said, you know, let it be as you have said, is what she told Gabriel when he said that she'd be pregnant and by the Holy Spirit. Well, you know what? It's the same thing. We're walking in that Kiddushin, but you cannot expect, hear me out, you cannot expect to step out and give birth or even step out into that marriage covenant until God has prepared you, until he has removed that flesh from you that's been holding you back, until he has circumcised, you know, that luggage and removed it. So going back to the interpretation of my dream, when I came back from Israel, I was devastated. I was devastated that I didn't enter into that marriage covenant and all the things that God has promised and prophesied to me and all these prophetic dreams and these prophetic words that he has given me had not come to pass. That I had to take off that wedding gown and I had to wait another 2 years. That was painful for me to see and to go through. But he had to take away. So when I was coming up that escalator, I let that old luggage, which was part of my family, I let that old luggage fall in that pile. And when I looked over to the left and it was gone, I didn't have a choice to take it. The Lord took it from me. I didn't give it. He just took it because he knew that he couldn't ask that from me. It was something that he had to remove on his own because of who I am, not because of who they are, not because they're good people, not because they love me, because I assure you they're not and they didn't. They didn't have anything inside them, anything good. And that same person that God was circumcising from me is the same person who wanted my wedding gown. You can't walk into your calling when you've got people attached to you that are jealous, bitter, and resent you. Because when something good happens to you, they resent it. But when something bad happens to you, they're rejoicing inside. You don't need those people around you. I don't care if they're family or not. You can't have that. And God was taking it away because he knew I was not the kind of person that could actually hurt somebody by cutting them off and not talking them to me or talking to them anymore. And so what he did is he changed it around and he removed that flesh from me. Praise God. So when I come back up the escalator, that was nowhere to be found. And instead of praying, because everybody's screaming at me, this is a time of prayer. This is a time of sanctification. This is a time to set yourself apart. This isn't a time to be frantic and be sad and running around trying to look for old luggage and try to make things right and take it along with you. This is a time of prayer. And so when I went downhill fast on my own. I wasn't carried down there by the Lord. He said, this is a time of prayer. So I turned around and I realized everybody was right. And I went back up that escalator very slowly, the same way I went up the first time, dragging, you know, busted, disgusted, coming up that escalator, brokenhearted. What am I going to do now? All along, I'm carrying this pink carry-on. And when I go and sit down, that person sitting next to me was one of my best friends, Sheila King. And she's the one that lifted me up. She's the one that saw me come into she was waiting for me. She surprised me to come and pick me up at the airport. And she was the one that was waiting for me there at that airport. And she saw the distress in my heart and on my face. And it broke her heart. And she started crying. She knew how devastated I was because I had shared with her the promises of what God was going to do. Praise God. And so as I come out of that escalator and I go and I sit down, she reaches behind the chair and she picks up that pink carry-on and she sits it in my lap and she says, at least you still have this. She's saying, Deborah, pick yourself up. God isn't finished with you. He's given you a calling and you've got to finish the work that he started in you. This is gone now. You can't be looking for your old luggage. You can't be worrying about these people in your family, what they've tried to do to you and how they've tried to tear you down, how they've tried to keep you down and oppressed. I'm telling you, now is the time to continue on with what God has for you because he has called you to the nations. Praise God. I open up that bag, and you know what was in that bag? I'm telling you right now, this was in the bag. Feed my children. This radio broadcast, these books, they were in the bag. My calling was in the bag. He was saying, feed my children. And that's exactly what I began to prepare for. I knew that he had laid it on my heart to do a radio broadcast 9 years ago. I had no idea it would spiral very, very quickly within a matter of 2 months into what it is now. Well, it's still growing. He's still not finished. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. It just keeps getting better. And so what I'm saying right here, this is the last book, Mystery of the Ketubah. This is the last book I wrote. And I began to prepare for the radio broadcast, but I couldn't actually do it until after I had written this book because I knew I had to have everything in order before I could begin to feed you. And here I am waiting to come out of that Ketushin, for God to call me and to come and get me. And when I get into next Monday, I'm going to go into the next chapter of the book. And it's called, let me think where it is. I want to make sure it's accurate what I'm telling you here. It's called Ancient Jewish Wedding Traditions is the name of it. When I get into that next broadcast on Monday, I'm going to begin to show you all the traditions and how these things fit together. Because the Kiddushin is, and the Irushin, that is that waiting period. And God only knows what he can do through you during that time if we allow him. I'm going to read the closing of chapter 2 from my book to you in closing today. I know we've went way over, and I'm okay with that because I know that this has been ordained by God, praise God, and I love that Connie called in. I would have loved to have heard from Sheila. I don't know that she listens live. I think she listens to the broadcast afterward, but I'm going to read this last page to you from chapter 2 on page 43. It's actually on 42. So he says, we cannot glorify God in oppression unless it is in the process of deliverance. Praise God. The process includes purging us from our old identity and preparing us for the new. Often this includes removing people from our lives. Not everyone has our best interest at heart just because they are related. No person can function freely in a marriage when they are wounded. The process of healing begins at salvation, but it is through surrender we are able to completely receive healing. If God would have allowed me to step into the marriage with all the baggage from my past, I would not have been effective. I would not have been able to minister in the full capacity in which he had intended. What God wanted to do would not be established in the flesh, but in the spirit. Since the emotional baggage I had carried for so long was flesh, he had to circumcise it before I could freely walk in the marriage covenant. God's timing and seasons cannot be ignored, since his seasons are what he uses to perfect and sanctify us, and his timing is when he brings it all to fruition. For the bride of Christ, her season of sanctification is the Kiddushin, and the fulfillment is the marriage or the Nitzuin. Our dreams are the images of God's prophetic word, and the interpretation belongs to him. That's why I've shared with you so many dreams, because it's that prophetic word he gives us, and he always sees it through. If we are to receive the rewards which God has set aside for us, we must let go of our old self for the new identity in Christ. This is easy when we step out in blind faith. It only gets difficult when we try to control or predict the outcome. Perhaps this is why we don't always get the answers when we want them, only when we're able to receive them. So I wanted to step out as soon as I got back from Israel. But that was not God's plan. Examining the ancient Jewish wedding traditions will help us further appreciate God's preparation period for both the bride and the groom. Not knowing when the wedding will take place is another mystery hidden within the traditions of Jewish history. It is a revelation Jesus has revealed to his bride in order for her to recognize the time and season of his return. Who is called to the wedding? When will he return? What happened to the unfaithful bride? Are all questions which are answered in the ancient Jewish wedding traditions. We'll explore these customs further in the next broadcast. And more importantly, by the time we finish and to the end of this book and this teaching, we will finally know how to walk in our own ketubah and learn why it's important for the bride to always be prepared for her groom. Praise God. I'm excited to be sharing this with you. I want to let you know just a few things before I go off the air. We're about to close. And that is, I'm going to Israel in March. And there is a prophetic dream that God has given me that goes along with this trip that I know that he is about to fulfill. It's a dream that I thought he was going to fulfill 2 years ago. But it wasn't. It was just the rehearsal. And so here I am, and I'm waiting and I'm willing for God to move. I'm going to go to Israel. It's going to be a time of quiet prayer. I'm going to be by myself, and I'm going to go over and stay at a hostel and go visit some friends in Hofa up in the northwest side where the it's a wonderful place to stay. I don't say it right. We say in the Bible Hofa, but it's called something else in Hebrew, and it's the same name, it's just pronounced differently. I'm going to go stay up there for a couple days with a friend, I'm going to go visit the Sea of Galilee, and I may even stream live from there. And at least, if anything, I'll videotape and I'll upload those videos for you to be able to share along with this journey with me. And I love you very much. And thank you so much for tuning in. The whole purpose in today's broadcast is to let you know that God loves you, that He has a plan for you. And just because things don't work out the way that we think they should, does not mean that God doesn't have a plan for your life. It doesn't mean that we should go back and wallow in the mire, or like a dog back to his vomit, as the word says. It doesn't mean that we should go back to those things. It just means that it's not His timing. And you know what? I do not know the name of this person, but God has just put a person's face in my mind, and I believe I have to share this word very quickly, because I believe this word is for her as well. And her name is Tia Marie Rock. All right, so Tia, if you're listening, I want you to hear this word, because God has not called you into the position you think you should be right now. Just because God has not allowed you to step out because you've come so far, but you have a lot further to go, does not mean that we need to go back to our old ways. Does not mean that we have to go back like a dog to its vomit or a pig wallowing in the mire. It does not mean that He does not have a plan for you, but you have to grow. This is just the conception of what God has for you. It's not the birth. You have to see that. Praise God. And everybody else out there, I'm talking to you as well. If God has put something down inside you, you've got to understand that there's a process that has to be worked out of you before you can step into a marriage covenant. There are other covenants that you have to walk in. We go from the servant covenant to the friendship covenant to the inheritance covenant and the marriage covenant. I'm going to get into these covenants later, but right now you need to understand that you're just learning how to serve. And just like the apostles, when Jesus said, I no longer call you a servant, but I call you a friend, they went 3 years with Him just before He started calling them friends. And He was getting ready to leave them and go sit at the right hand of the Father. He's getting ready to be crucified. And so He was coming to the end, and you think that you're coming to the end as well with Him, but the truth is, you're just at the beginning. And you've got to walk it out. And if you're in the middle of this and you know what it is that I'm talking about and you've been there and there's things that He's still removing, I'm just asking you to do one thing. Just let go. Just open up your hands and just let go of whatever it is you're holding on to. And that way He can get you through this a lot faster. And remember this, that the bigger the promise inside you, the bigger the revelation, the bigger the ministry, that bigger promise, it is going to take a greater faith to step out in that. And the enemy is going to come against you even more than you can imagine. I'm going to leave you with that. Praise God. I love you. Remember to tune in to future broadcasts and to the show. Just go in to support me, please, on Facebook and YouTube. But if you could follow me on YouTube, I'd really appreciate it. Go in and you'll get updates on when I'm streaming on Facebook as well. And join me at wbocradio.org, where you'll be updated with the latest news and events of what's going on. And I won't blow up your emails, I promise. So don't forget to tune in tomorrow, or excuse me, not tomorrow, but on Monday, Mystery of the Ketubah. We're still continuing on in that thread, and we're going to go into Chapter 3. And that is ancient Jewish wedding traditions. All right. So right here, if you're following along with the book, right there you go. Ancient Jewish wedding traditions. Okay. Praise God. I love you. You can write to me at WBOC Radio, PL Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. And you can write to talk at WBOCradio.org as well. Send me a message there. And you can call 931-563-3377 and leave a message. Or get a hold of us after the show, or if you want to call into the broadcast, the number is 515-602-9613. Thank you again for watching and tuning in to Facebook and YouTube. I'm your host, Deborah Powers, and I'll be back on the air Monday, the 25th. Thank you for tuning in, and remember, you are the Bride of Christ.